Are they always late?
Sometimes, yes.
Well, a couple of them are, you know, busy. They have veterinary practices and things like that. So, anyway, welcome everyone. And let me grab the sign-up sheet, and we'll start with the public comments. So we have several people who would like to speak, so I'll just go down the list. John Brett.
Are you going to save me for last?
Mr. Bradfield has applied to this committee, to the open position on this committee, and we're going to be doing that later in the meeting, assuming we have a fourth. So you can still address us later in the meeting if you
sure.
like, or now.
I'll just listen for a while.
Okay, perfect. So then Michael Brewer.
My name is Michael Brewer. I reside at 22211 Fisk Road. It's on the north side of the intersection of Blue Creek and Fisk. Now, I speak for myself. Periodically, over the past several months, I've been awakened at night or in the morning with what I thought was people fighting, screaming, carrying on, and wound up being animals. Sometimes animals, I don't even know what they are, but they look like big wild rats running around the house and stuff. They've scared me, frightened me, occasionally in the back of my house, on my property. I have a 5-acre parcel there. I also have a pet that I keep indoors. I feel he's been endangered, and they frightened me a couple of times by running on the property, just running loose. Lately, I've been having problems with pigs, more pigs than dogs, because the dogs have got hint of my animal up there. These pigs come in, they're destructive, they're rooting, and all the noise is going on there, and I don't feel I'm the only one in there, in the neighborhood, that is having the property damaged by these animals walking in there. I've called the sheriff's department several times, and the closest thing I've got to any satisfaction on that part is deputy has come out to visit, not just me, but other neighbors on that occasion. And they referred me to the brand inspector. Now, I don't have a horse. I'm not going to last some pigs or check to see if they've got a brand. I figure someone in here is getting paid to do that. It's not me. Well, I just ask for a solution here. And I have a question at this time of all of you. That would be, what are the qualifications to carry an animal into one of these shelters that the county maintains? If I took a loose dog in there, would the county take that dog? If I took a loose cat in there, would the county accept that dog? More important, if I took a bunch of pigs in there in a trailer, would the county accept those pigs and do something with them? Because frankly, I'm tired of having to tear up my property. Okay. Endangerment to keep me up all hours of the night. I personally have heart conditions on medications. Sleep deprivation is a big factor for me, and these guys aren't helping me. I have knocked on the owner's door several times to no avail. No one comes to answer the door for me. So, folks, it's in your lap, and I hope you do something now. Can I cart these animals down there myself to you guys?
Does somebody own these pigs?
Yes.
Yes.
A neighbor?
Yes.
Have you complained to animal control?
We can address.
Yes.
You want to address?
Yeah, we can address this. So this is on a property and the owner we've been dealing with on loose dogs. The pigs, you know, our code does not cover livestock, and so that's where the sheriff's referring people to the brand inspector, because that's who handles that. So we don't have any animal code for pigs or cows or anything like that, so we also are referring people to other resources. There has been a judgment on the owner for the dogs. We are following up on that. The judgment included fencing around the property. My understanding was, what's the latest, Charlie?
Bernie went out there to do an inspection of the dogs that were supposed to be confined, are confined in the fence, but the 8-foot chain link fence that was supposed to go around the property per the judgment of this justice court is not up. So Bernie will be working with the justice court as well, the person, to figure out what the justice court wants to do at this juncture. That's going to be up to them as their court order.
So Bernie did a compliance inspection, found they were out of compliance. Now we're just waiting for the court to tell us how to proceed.
Do you have any word on what the sheriff's doing with pigs?
The sheriff doesn't do anything with pigs.
Who is it that does it with the pigs?
Brand inspector.
Do you have any word on what they're doing?
No.
Now, before my 3 minutes runs up, I'm still waiting for an answer on my question. If I corral these pigs and took them down to a county unit, will they accept these pigs?
Because we know the owner? No.
But they're wild. They don't have brands on them.
But we know who the owner is, so we need to deal with the owner. We need to deal with the issue.
Owner, yeah. So I don't have to.
Yeah, and we are, as we can. We are working with the court. Yeah, it's just the process we're in.
Why can't we shoot them and just have a neighborhood barbecue?
It's in the city, it's illegal to shoot them.
So it's in rural Lane County, right?
Yes, in West Lane area, yes.
Under whose purview is the brands inspector?
I don't know.
Okay, I'm done. Thank you.
Just to clarify, though, First Avenue does not take livestock like that, correct?
Our county contract doesn't cover livestock, no.
So you couldn't take them to the shelter? It's livestock. I mean, the dogs.
Right, and the First Avenue shelter, we only take stray animals, so if the owner was known, we wouldn't be able to accept from a member of the public under those circumstances.
If I was to tie my front door down here, somebody would take action on them.
Sure.
A quick question, yes.
Just, to qualify, the pigs, they're potbelly pigs, so they're pets. So they're not really considered, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they aren't livestock. I've raised pigs.
Yeah, no, I understand that, and I think that it's how it's defined by the law or by the code, and, you know, so I think that pigs fall under.
So they would, because they're pigs.
Yeah, I think whether they're pets or
they're just parcel.
Yeah,
it's just a different breed. I just let you know because they were someone's pets at some time.
All right, let's move on to the next person who signed up. Then that would be Dalbert Martin.
Yes, ma'am. And I've got a couple questions. I'm under the understanding that this lady has a kennel license. Now, she's got three big dogs.
Oh, are you talking about the same property?
Same
lady.
Okay,
just to clarify.
And they're in about a 20 by 24 carport. They used to run just loose wherever they wanted to go. Well, they killed a bunch of chickens and a bunch of ducks and cats, and so she had to pin them up. What my question is, if when somebody's going to build a house anywhere in that vicinity, we get a notice that somebody is going to build a house. Why don't we get a notice when somebody's going to put in a kennel? This kennel is 40 feet from my bedroom window. Those dogs howl, they bark, you know, and they tell me that if you can take a recording of it for 15 minutes, that's nuisance. Anything below that is not a nuisance. Well, when you get woke up four or five times a night, it becomes a nuisance to me, and they might only do it for 10 minutes, 5 minutes. But every time a coon or a possum or a deer comes by, they're barking. And if they don't have anything to bark at, they'll howl. Well, that was one question. And the other question is, I've called everybody from animal control, fish and wildlife, Department of Agriculture, and the only one that can do anything about it is the Sheriff's Department. And the only thing they can do is give her a citation for loose animals. What can we do to give our sheriff's department and our animal control officer a little more authority to say, no, this ain't happening, you're going to lose them?
Mike?
You want to address that?
Yeah, do you want to take that?
Don't we have statutes on the book for nuisance complaints?
Yeah, but it's got to be over
15 minutes. By animal control?
It's got to be over 15 minutes. That's what Bernie told me.
If it's specified as 15 minutes, then that's the only way they can legally operate on it. If it gets changed to 10 minutes, then they can operate on it on 10 minutes. But the statute or however that's written would have to be changed.
Yeah. Well, like he points out, you get woke up four times a night, 15 minutes. Who cares about 15 minutes? You're still awake four times a night because of an irresponsible owner.
Right.
It has to be consecutive 15 minutes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which is ridiculous, actually.
And, yeah, and really, I think if they're going to issue a kennel license, their nearest neighbor should be at least 1,000 feet.
So I don't know about the land use kennel licensing, how that works. I know that we sell kennel licenses. They have to prove that they have the necessary land use approvals, depending on the number of animals they have. So if they're allowed to have up to 8. If they have over that, they have to go through other hoops. So as far as dogs, all we know of is the 2 dogs. And like I said, there has been a judgment, and there are requirements of that judgment. Bernie did the compliance check. They're not in compliance. We've reported that to the court. I think we've reported it to the court, and we're waiting for the court's further direction. That's all I can say. I really appreciate everybody coming and understand the, and Bernie does too, understands what's going on there. But we're limited by the code that we have to do, and the courts to do, to how we can respond.
So why are we waiting for the, I know why we're waiting for the courts, but is the courts taking a while to do this or what?
It was just last week, and it was a holiday week, so yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
So it's just recently gone to court.
I'd like to reinforce what he's talking about, this noise. We're 5-acre parcels out there, and I am several hundred yards from where these dogs are at.
Yeah.
They're waking me up at night for, you know, half hour, 45 minutes at a time. So it's not just a yilly yapping dog next door. These things are making a heck of a noise out there.
It's and obvious to me we've got irresponsible owners, and this is a good case to have dogs bark softened. That mandated bark softened.
That may be what the judge decides to do next. I don't know.
Unless you take the dogs away from somebody.
So the owner is known by us. The owner is known by the courts. And it's progressed up to that point where the courts are now involved. So we have to, we're waiting for their direction on how to proceed.
Okay. Would you keep in contact with us? Let us know how this goes.
I'll call you every week when I see them pigs over at my house. Bernie gets a call.
Yep, and that's exactly what you should do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I want to know about the noise too. That's
so it don't do me any good to call Fish and Wildlife because they don't care if we get wild pigs, and that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, pigs are kind of like a rabbit. First you got 2 and then you got a dozen.
And then they will go wild if they're kept.
And then they're wild and then we got a real problem.
Yeah. Right?
They could be very dangerous and destructive.
So it's my understanding the court's judgment did include, they kind of used the dog issue to wrap in some of the, that's why Charlie said this 8-foot property fence all around the property was part of the judgment. That has not been done, and so we continue to see these kinds of things.
Something else the courts could do is...
And that would be required to be around the whole 5-acre parcel.
I mean, that's a huge...
She has 1 acre.
She has 1 acre.
1 acre.
Still, it's a significant cost.
That's a whale.
Yeah. She has 4 big dogs. I mean, Doberman and Lab and Great Dane and a Rottweiler. Then she's got 4 little, I guess it's 4.
Chihuahuas, yeah.
And then she's got 2 Myras. If you know what a Myra is, it's a big rat. It's the fourth largest rodent in the world. It comes from Argentina or someplace down in there. She's got two of them, and they get out every once in a while and run around. So it's just that if we could give our officers a little more power to, you know, do something. Because Bernie says all he can do is give her citation for the dogs.
Right.
He can't do nothing about the pigs, and the sheriff can give her a citation for the pigs, but that's all he can do. And it's been kind of quiet here the last couple of weeks because they did come out, the sheriff's department, and give her a citation. Well, that lasted until today. Today they're all over the neighborhood again. They're up to Jack's house, which he lives further up the road than I do.
They
were over at Mike's house this morning. Then they ended up at my house. I don't want them. If I wanted pigs, I'd buy one.
But, and they're rooting in my driveway. So, I mean, they're being destructive.
I have a question for you, sir. Is it your impression, and this just has to be your impression, you can't know, if this is a person who's just uncooperative?
Yes, ma'am, she
is. Or
is
it a person who's overwhelmed and doesn't know what to do?
No, she's just uncooperative. Because when she first moved in there, the dogs were, we couldn't go outside without them barking, bark, bark, bark. Well, then after she had to pin them up, they're not barking as much. We went over, me and my wife went over and banged on the door. Her car was there and her daughter's car was there. They wouldn't answer the door. We left a note on her windshield, our name, phone number, to give us a call. Never did call. And the only word that I've ever had with her is she told me when they first moved in, I tried to get acquainted with her, and she said that she had bark collars ordered for the dogs. Well, a couple of weeks later, I asked her if she could please keep those dogs quiet. She said, well, I've got bark collars ordered, and I told her, I said, you told me that 2 weeks ago. And that you can't call her because she won't answer the phone. She's got a cell phone. You can't leave a message because the mailbox is always full. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but we need a little more for the sheriff and the animal control officer, a little more power to them on something like that.
Is there any possibility of rewriting codes to give Bernie a little more leeway in what he can address in a situation like this?
If you have a proposal, we'd be happy to look at it.
Well, now, pardon me, but I have a call in to Jay Bozovich, and we're going to try to set up a meeting with him.
Good.
And see what we can do to get the law changed somewhere or another to get something done, but I haven't heard back from him.
Yeah. And it's, you know, the same story, and I hate to be a broken record, but it's just one officer for the entire county, and we do the best we can with the resources we have. In this case, we feel like we're working with the courts, we're aware of the situation, we are doing follow-up visits, and have been talking to the neighborhood about it, so we're doing what we can in this situation.
So in the meantime, are we supposed to just let them destroy our property, or are we allowed to use deadly force to stop them, or what? Because I mentioned that to the sheriff today, and she said I could be arrested for making a threat to kill the pigs.
Yep, you don't want to do that, but...
Well, how are we supposed to get rid of them? I'm not going to let them destroy our property.
I mean, the next step would be a civil issue. If they're doing damage to your property, you have a claim.
Can she not be arrested for failure to comply?
Well, I mean, eventually that may be what the judge gets to. I don't know. It's up to the court.
One more thing on, you have a claim, but you can't collect it. Nick lost a bunch of chickens. The neighbor up the road from us lost a bunch of chickens, a bunch of ducks.
And a cat.
And a cat. And she hadn't replaced anything yet.
Yeah.
The dog can be impounded and addressed for over that.
Well, that's the reason she had to have them pinned up. And they've got to wear a dangerous dog collar.
Right.
But, I mean, so she had to pin them up. She's got three great big dogs in a 20 by 24. But to me, that is cruelty to the dog. I mean, they don't. These are big guys. They need some room to run. Mm-hmm. They need some exercise.
So we're making sure that they have at least minimum care standards and that they're being at least, follow what we consider minimum care. If they're, as long as she's meeting that, they're meeting our standards. So I'm trusting Bernie that in his judgment that's being taken care of. The other stuff, though, it's just I want to acknowledge it is a problem, and we're doing what we can on our end to deal with as much as we can.
We appreciate that.
Yeah.
And thank you for listening.
I missed where this is. Where is this again?
It's on the corner. Well.
Fisk Road.
She is on Poodle Creek, but it's right.
Right. Yeah.
On the corner of Poodle Creek and Fisk. Right?
Yeah.
Poodle Creek Fisk.
Thank you.
So we now have a quorum. Welcome back,
Pencil. Try to drive West 11th this time of year.
Yeah. We have several members of the public who are still commenting, and I think pretty much all of them are talking about the same issue. It's a property in Rowland County that we have some dogs that have been making a lot of noise, nuisance, and I guess there's some pigs out there too that are running wild and loose. And it sounds like Animal Services and Bernie have done everything that they can in terms of the dogs, and I guess it's in Brandon's hands with regards to, or the sheriff through Brandon, for the pigs. There's also a judgment, I understand. So there's a judgment, and they're not in compliance.
Is that Highway 34?
Poodle Creek and Fisk Road.
Well, I don't know where all the roads are. I just don't know exactly where Fisk is. Fisk is on the north end of it.
North end, on the 36 side.
Yeah, the 36 side. Yeah. I went there years ago.
Anyway, the court has been contacted and notified that they are out of compliance. I guess the county has not been notified by the court yet what the next step will be. So if you all still want to continue speaking, I have Melinda Klutzak.
Yes, I'm one of the neighbors as well, and I just wanted to thank everybody for listening and thank you for what you've already done, because I know it's difficult. The county is really strapped for resources, and it's not their fault they don't have more. Sheriff's been very responsive, trying to do what they can. I'll just go on the record to say what has happened on my property. I live some distance away from this. And the first thing that happened is two dogs ran across my property, fairly large dogs. And they were skittish and they ran off. And I've since found out that one of them may have been a potentially dangerous dog. Maybe it hurts other animals. I don't currently have an animal, so it's not as serious for me. And then I saw a little black pig running down Poodle Creek, and I was concerned because I didn't want it to get mowed down. And I subsequently saw more pigs, and I am concerned about Poodle Creek because I know of at least 5 fatalities there. 4 fatalities very close to this location. Very serious crashes. People were also injured. So it's kind of a busy highway, actually. And to have livestock running loose is serious. Don't want to see them hit. Don't want to see somebody injured. There's some curves. People drive very fast there. So the road issue is an issue. And then the pigs, I'm concerned for their welfare. I'm also concerned about those going feral and then having a big, huge pig problem and having to try and deal with that. I tried to knock on our door when the pigs were running down Fisk Road one day. And I was on the way to work, And so I parked my car there, saw the potentially dangerous dog sign, so didn't feel real welcome to go there. There were no trespassing signs, so I did go out, got out of my car and waited. And a daughter came out, I believe she's a teenager. Very nice, apologized. So I appreciated that, and I went to work. And the next day, I saw three pigs running down the road. And so I went back in there, it was a Saturday, and stood outside, could tell people were inside. And the dogs were all barking at me. And then the Rottweiler on the porch was sounded aggressive. It didn't get up and come at me, but it was barking, so I just stood there. I didn't know if that was a dangerous dog or not, but it was not secured, just up on the porch. And so I am concerned as a neighbor of having those types of animals running around. If they've got a license for a kennel, I'm concerned about somebody who hasn't been compliant, hasn't been responsive to their neighbors and to the issues. I have had the pigs in my yard. They did get in our garden and dug up a little bit. Into our flower beds a little bit and on rooting in our yard. It wasn't serious damage, so I didn't need to do anything. Like to address things with neighbors, you know, person to person rather than coming and doing it this way, but I feel the non-responsiveness to the sheriff's office, non-responsive to the neighbor, needs to be recognized. And if they have some sort of license or some kind of ability to keep that many animals, I think they need to be compliant about it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So next is Jack Walker and Sherry Dobson.
Jack is my dad. And this morning he had two pigs in his yard rooting up the planters and doing a little bit of damage on the driveway. And I live about a half a mile down on Poodle Creek. And when I went down to his house this morning, the two pigs were in the road and a log truck had to completely stop to avoid hitting them. So Poodle Creek is extremely dangerous. People drive fast there, and there's gonna be a fatality with them swerving to miss animals. So if she's not in compliance, can we call the judge and ask that they take care of it sooner? Because as far as I'm concerned, if she don't do what they told her, she should be arrested herself and the animals taken.
Yes, you can feel free to contact the court, yeah. And that's the Florence Justice Court. Florence Justice Court.
Okay.
Yep.
Do you have a number there?
I don't have it with me, I'm sorry. I can look it up really quickly.
Yeah, it sounds like the lack of compliance is pretty much in the court's hands. Correct, Mike?
At this point, yes, because it's gone to that level. The judge is now the person who is handling the case.
And animals that are considered livestock, is there, as long as you're not in city limits, is there like limitations or licenses or anything that anybody needs to have?
For livestock?
Cows and sheep and pigs and...
Are there any feral pig regulations that we have in this area?
No.
But where they become a danger on the road, can something not be done without?
So yes, loose, I mean, when an animal on the road, that's where the sheriff gets involved, if it's a public safety issue.
I did call them, and I guess they did respond. I wasn't out at the time, but they were in the area.
Yeah. So that's where the sheriff gets involved with livestock, is if it's in the road causing a safety hazard, that's the proper time to call the sheriff.
And if they call the sheriff, aren't all those calls recorded, and won't they be taken into account when the judge makes a decision?
Yes. Well, do those get forwarded to the court? I'm not sure.
Probably depends on the case.
Probably depends on the case. I mean, we could facilitate that, I suppose, but if the court inquires about it, they can certainly provide that.
I was reluctant to call the sheriff's office because I know that they don't have their new deputies on.
Right.
They need to have them staffed on an animal issue when they've got more priority one or two calls going.
That's right. There's no guarantee that they'll respond or respond in time.
Yeah, but as you said, it has the potential to be a much bigger issue. issue, so, for people as well as the livestock.
If they get attacked that big, if it gets big enough and grows tusks, because I heard that can happen, it's gonna go wild.
I certainly wouldn't want to hit a pig with my car. Or have to dodge one.
Well, the biggest one is.
Hit a tree.
About 200 pounds.
Yeah.
Probably minimum.
Janetta, did you have something to add?
In a situation like this, could the neighbors, when the animals are running loose, I don't know if you catch a pig, but catch them and transport them to the brand inspector at the auction? Is that a possibility?
I don't think they have that ability.
The pigs are very hard to capture.
Yeah.
They're smart. They're smart.
That's why there's so many feral pigs in a lot of places.
You can't pick them up.
I'd rather try to catch a cow on a rope than I would a pig any day.
Then again, it ought to fall on her for just, I mean, she's deliberately ignoring everything she's told to do. She's not doing it. She's got a lot of irritated people out in that area.
What gets me is like, Dad, we've been out there almost 50 years working our butt off on that place. And then get up this morning and find his yard tore up. Our plants are gone. Where there was flowers, they're down to nothing now.
Seriously, we are going to shoot them.
That's what I was going to say. It's not unreasonable to think about that.
We've tried to handle it friendly with her, and she won't deal with it.
This is recorded.
So I'm careful about saying that in public meetings.
I don't care who hears it. You can have the bacon.
In Northern California for years, they've had a feral pig problem, and they built traps, you know, physical traps. It's a pen with a trap door, and they trail corn into it, and then trap. And in California for years, it's been legal to take those to market and sell them for yourself. They don't have a name on them. There's no brand on them. And they're your pigs. If they're on your place, they're eating your food, they're your pigs. You know what I mean?
In this case,
and California's done that for years.
In this case, everybody knows who the owner is. So we have to, our advice is not to kill them, but to deal with the owner, and that's what we're trying to do.
I understand that you're trying, but that's not successful, okay?
And so yeah.
You can beat your head against the wall just so far.
Yeah.
And then I know the court would look kindly upon you if you take care of your own problem.
Not necessarily. Because now she has a claim. Now she has a loss.
For what? What is she to pick?
It would be a lost pig.
Yeah.
She just thumbs her nose at everybody that has any authority whatsoever. We'd like to trap her, is what we'd like to do.
Yeah, no, then you'd be in real trouble.
She's like a politician. She's done something illegal. You guys tell her what to do, and she ignores it.
Yeah.
With cattle, what they used to do, this is, if, and I don't know if it applies to pigs or not, but you do take and capture the animal, and like on a cow that's running at large, if it does not have my brand on it, then I can take it legally to the auction, and I can sell it, and I can assign a fee of how much work I put into this animal in getting it captured and taken to the auction. Mm-hmm. Then the rest of it is left in the animal brand department. Okay. And
I think that's Oregon Department of Agriculture.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And so I can imagine that you could talk to the brand department and see if that same thing applies to pigs.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That way you're not using the pig for yourself. You're not abusing the pig. You're simply trying to recapture loss. Okay. And the problem is capturing. That's very difficult, you know.
Well, if you can get a rope around her mouth.
Yes.
If I would have caught him this morning,
actually,
he'd have been abused.
Pigs respond to electric fences really well. Mm-hmm. They don't like electricity at all. So if you string an electric fence up, you can really guide them pretty well.
She can keep them in if she would put one out.
If she put an electric fence up, they would stay in. That's true. Yeah. Pigs don't like electric fences.
These are not eating pigs.
I understand.
They're real friendly. They'll walk right up to you.
Yeah. But they still understand electricity really well.
Yeah.
Pigs are smart. Pigs are smart.
Welcome, Dr. Young. We have several members of the public here commenting on a property where there's many pigs running loose and dogs, and there's a judgment that they're supposed to put a fence up, and the property owner is not in compliance, so it's now with the court to let the county know what to do about they're not complying apparently.
Totally no response.
I think probably we should move on. Misha, did you have, want to speak?
I do not have a pig problem.
I don't think so. You probably are on a completely different topic, so if, it sounds like the county has done everything that they can at this point, short of changing the code, and it sounds like you're meeting, going to be meeting with Jay Bozovich to talk about that, so I don't think there's really much more that we as a committee can do. We certainly appreciate your frustration and the problem with that. Unless you have, oh, did you have?
I do have one question. With the number up there, is there a case number that we could have?
See if it's on the card.
We can go see.
Okay, we'll get back to you with that in a minute.
Okay,
Misha, why don't you go ahead and...
Oh, I was just going to ask whether or not the minutes, or since we're not doing the minutes anymore, there's no recordings yet for the year, according to Janice. You said that you looked today and that there's still not...
For the year?
She's not finding anything from January. I personally looked myself, but she wasn't able to come today, so she asked me to look so that if we're not able to attend, we can hear the meetings.
Yeah. Yeah, so I thought we were up to at least April. Right now, the website is frozen. We're going through a website update.
Okay.
And so the last couple meetings probably aren't up yet, but
okay.
I think we're...
She's been waiting.
Okay.
And again, I can't...
I'm happy to provide it like on a thumb drive or something. If she
okay.
wants to come in, we'll be happy to provide that.
Okay, but will you check it when it does get back up?
Yes.
To see what it really hasn't been posted since January, what the holdup is.
Yeah, that's, I didn't think we were that far behind. Okay.
Okay, great. Thank
yeah.
you. That's all I
have to say. Okay. Well, that was actually one of the items on the agenda, the review and approval of minutes and summaries, so I take it that there's nothing new to review.
Yep, you have two.
Okay.
April and May
okay.
are included in your packet. Reviewing.
Just to take a look at what's here, everything looks fine to me.
So back to Misha's comment, we do have January's recording up. There was no meeting in February. We didn't have quorum. But yes, the March meeting is not up yet, and the April meeting is not up yet. So we'll, as soon as we get the website back up and running, we'll get that fixed.
Did I understand, as long as the website's frozen, then none of that could be accessed?
No, yeah, right now we're not.
I got some information on that from James because we need to get some stuff up, and he said you can put stuff up, you'll just have to repost it when they transfer stuff over, so it's not like physically frozen, it's just they're not encouraging people to content on because
so any new content won't come over.
Right, new content won't come over.
Okay. So yeah, I guess in the interim we can do it, and then when it's up again we'll have to do it again.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll try to address that this week.
Great, thank you.
Backing up for a second then, did anybody have any changes or additions to the agenda in front of you? If not, then why don't we turn it over to Greenhill and First Avenue for their report.
Sure. Okay. So we have numbers through the end of the fiscal year now, so just embarking on a new one. Okay, so let's talk first about June. Last month was a very busy month at the shelter. On your report, as always, we compare the total intakes and outcomes from last month to the same month the year prior, so that gives you a snapshot right next to each other. which gives you a pretty easy comparison. So cat intake was up by 48% compared to June of 2015.
Wow.
Very, very busy in the cattery, as we call it, a word that makes people who don't work in sheltering laugh every time. But and dog intake also was up by 45% compared to June of 2015. So we were popping last month.
Dog and, I'm sorry, up how much?
45%.
Thanks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing is not a huge difference in terms of officer intake, but a really large increase in public drop-off of cats. So if you look at the intake residence row, 104 cats came in June of this year compared to 59 last year. Mm. So lots and lots of cats coming in. Mm. On the outcome side of things, one of the things that I wanted to point out is we are seeing even more of an increase in returning cats to owners, adult cats. Primarily it's cats that are coming in microchipped, and some of them have been missing for quite a period of time. So we returned 11 cats to their owners during the month of June, which is, I mean,
yay.
It's 11. We're still really celebrating that, and the staff are really excited about it. Overall, that's a 13% RTO rate for cats during the month of June, and we've already returned several so far during the month of July as well, so we're pretty excited about that trend and encouraged that that will continue. The return to owner rate for dogs during the previous month, during the month of June, was 68%. Again, very pleased with that number. Would love it to be 100%, but that's what we're looking at for dogs. Cat adoptions at the First Avenue location were up by 36% compared to last year. So again, more cats coming in, more cats getting returned to owner, which is great, and an increase in adoptions pretty significantly. Dog adoptions were pretty even at First Avenue with last year at this point. And we did transfer more dogs up to the Green Hill location. Again, really just trying to deal with that volume coming in and making sure that we have open kennels. We've definitely had some periods where we've been close to or at capacity at First Avenue, so we're moving dogs up to the Green Hill location when we can to address that. And then looking at year-to-date numbers, so overall in terms of total animals coming in, cats, dogs, and others, the small animals and occasional livestock that we get in under our contracts, overall, we're up by 5% compared to where we were last year. So across all species, intake is up 5%. We're up by 92 animals compared to last year. We are seeing that increase actually primarily in the small and other animals category. We are way more than double intake what we were looking at last year. So we've got 97 came in this year. We were at 41 year-to-date last year. It's pretty significant intake. Cat intake is up by 9% compared to the fiscal year of last year. Dog intake is actually down a little bit over the course of the year. We were down by 12% in terms of total dogs coming in. Any questions about any of that so far? I know I get in here and I just rattle off a whole bunch of stats for you guys, but yeah, so please stop me if you have questions about any of it.
The stuff that's in the other category,
yeah.
Is that's the chickens and the...
It's
rabbits and the guinea pigs.
Yeah,
and
yeah. Lots of rabbits, lots of chickens, and then the odd, pigs, goats. We did have a Patagonian Mara that came in under our Eugene contract. And we've had some turtles and, sometimes exotic birds that come in. We work with the Exotic Bird Rescue of Oregon to house those guys. And so, yeah, it's all those other species.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, so again, looking at outcome trends over the course of the entire year, our return to owner rate for dogs for the entire year is 68%. So that is up pretty significantly. Last year, over the course of the year, it was 59%. So we're very pleased at that increase. Cat return to owner rate over the course of the year was 8%, which is up slightly. Last year, it was 7%. So. And I think a lot of that is due to the recent bump in cat returns to owners. Let's see. Also,
so I just like to point out this is the end of the full fiscal year report.
Right.
So
right. Yeah.
All the numbers, the last four columns there,
mm-hmm.
is for fiscal year 2015. That's all. We've started a new fiscal year now, July 1st. So this is for the entire fiscal year. That, those are the numbers.
Correct. Yeah, that's a 12-month summary there. Let's see. Just wanted to spotlight, in addition, cat adoptions at First Avenue are up by 40% compared to last fiscal year. So last year we adopted 380 cats out of that facility. This year it's 419. So adoptions have been strong. Our dog adoptions have been down a little bit. Again, we've been returning more of them to owner. So, and the total dog intake was down a little bit. So we're adoptions are down by about 11% there at that facility. So they were down by less than the total intake was down, though. And we did overall, over the course of the year, transfer fewer dogs out. Again, intake was down and returns to owner were up. So we weren't doing quite as much over the course of the year of transferring animals for capacity reasons. But let's see. Any questions about any of that?
Can I ask you a question about just a number I don't understand? Is that sure. Return to owner is 55 and intake by officers was 42. That means some of the residents had a change of heart?
Which column are you looking at?
I'm looking at right at the very first. I'm looking at Eugene's column.
Oh, okay.
Because they always have the lion's share of everything that goes on.
Uh-huh.
And if you look down the second column,
uh-huh.
the intake by officers was 42.
Yep.
And return to owners is 55.
Mm-hmm.
So the only explanation is some people change their mind.
Or some of them were turned in by the public.
What's that?
Some of them were turned in by the public.
Right.
Yeah, the
we get in stray
intake
dogs.
From residents doesn't mean that they were the owner of the
no.
animal. No, that means a stray a yeah. person found a stray
okay,
animal.
Right. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
All
yeah.
of this
it was, I thought
stray
that,
is coming
that was maybe just people's
yeah.
personal pets.
Yeah, no. All of that would happen at the Greenhill location.
Although that does happen too.
What's that?
Although that does happen too.
No, I know that.
Yeah.
I just thought you guys weren't real fond on taking animals in that other people just brought to you.
No, so at the First Avenue shelter, which all of these are, the residents are presumably bringing in strays and they don't know the owner.
Right.
Okay.
And the officers, what you can't tell from this, is the officers may be bringing them in because they're also stray and they pick them up.
Okay.
Or
okay.
they're being brought in because they know the owner and have removed them from the
so
owner.
So you don't keep a separate column for residences that turn in their own dogs?
We,
that's
it seems like that
yeah,
should be a different
so we don't,
that's Greenhill activity.
Right, we
so
don't do that
at
First Avenue.
At all.
First Avenue won't even do that.
Right.
That's
why
I said
it.
Okay.
If someone wants to give up their own pet, they can't do it through the First Avenue.
That's
right. Yeah. Although sometimes people try.
Right.
Yeah.
yeah.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
You don't need to know. You know.
Yeah.
Get told
yeah.
Right.
But that's a really good clarification. I'm glad
right.
you brought that up.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
They do, and I should add, they do occasionally as a result of an officer bringing in their animal.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes the outcome for someone
is their RTO.
Is no, is they relinquish ownership of over
oh,
their animal
right, right.
as a result of being brought in from
yeah.
the officer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So occasionally that will occur.
Right. But usually there's more to the story.
Right.
Yeah. That's circumstances. anything else that I can clarify for anybody on the numbers?
Since we didn't meet last month, I also supplied May's report
right.
on the back there, so that's what that is. But. June is the full fiscal year, so that's the one you get this month.
Yeah. And then the other thing that I thought I would talk just briefly about with this group is, as most if not all of you are aware, Greenhill over the course of the past year had been involved in some litigation to clarify our obligations under the under our contracts with the different jurisdictions and the Oregon public records laws. So that came about as a result of some public records requests that were served on us by some individuals in the community. Those requests were also simultaneously served on the jurisdictions who have public records, public information officials, staff people that are designated to do that. And so through the course of evaluating our obligations, our board decided to seek clarification from the courts on what Green Hills obligations are in responding to those requests rather than just directing people seeking information to the jurisdictions. And when I say information, what I'm really talking about is people submitting a public records request asking for copies of documents, copies of records that exist. So we chose to seek clarification from the court that, of course, like almost any legal process, was lengthy. And in February of this past year, we received an opinion that we viewed as favorable to us, basically clarifying that just because we have contracts with public entities, that doesn't make us subject to all those same responsibilities that a governmental entity is. So that doesn't, our contracts, by virtue of our contracts, it doesn't mean that we then are responsible for responding to those requests ourselves, producing records ourselves, that all of those things still should go through the jurisdictions. Now, our contracts with the jurisdictions do require us to, in addition to providing monthly reports, we also are obligated to produce copies of documents or certain records that we have to keep under the contracts, and the jurisdictions do have the right to request those from us. So there is a mechanism there for information. And that has always been true. Nothing about this legal case changed anything along those lines. But basically what the court said was, just because you have a government contract doesn't make you equal to the government and subject to these fairly burdensome requirements. So that ruling came out in February, and then the judgment, basically finishing that step of the legal process, wasn't issued until May. And then there was a 30-day time frame for appeal, and the party, the other party in the litigation, did not choose to file an appeal during that 30-day deadline. So the judgment became final just in the middle of June. And there's been kind of a variety of information out there during this entire process. I know that some of you receive emails on these things, and so I just thought it would be a good time to clarify that with this group and see if there are any questions about kind of what the litigation was about, first of all, and then what the result was. So, happy to take questions.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I have a question. In other words, they can ask the county for the records,
right?
But that doesn't come from you, it comes from the county. Were they asking you for the records instead of the county?
Right.
They were asking for Green Hill records and not county records.
Well, initially there was a request that was served asking for records both of the Green Hill location and First Avenue. That was subsequently amended to focus just down on records relating to First Avenue, but they were being sought directly from us and not just through the contract jurisdiction.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Were they asking the jurisdictions as well, and the jurisdictions were sending them to you?
There was some.
So we provided
yeah,
what
there
we
some
had,
issues there. Mm-hmm.
And what we didn't have, we said we don't have.
Yeah, if I remember right, help me out here. If they request it from the county, then the county, as a government entity, has to provide what they have. The county would only have what you, under the contract, what you, First Avenue, under the contract, have to provide to the
correct.
County.
Right.
So, you only have to provide what you've got.
I thought there was some sort of complaint about the cost of these records, of so much a page they had to pay for and all that, that they were also complaining about.
They
should be free.
The state allows us to set rates for
how
that works.
But I thought that was part of it.
But isn't there a whole process for someone to appeal just the cost piece of it? Or
yeah.
So as far as you guys, the end result is actually nothing has changed.
Right.
Exactly. But they make it sound like they won something on all these emails and things.
Yeah.
I mean, we got barraged by about 60 emails there for about a month about how they won.
And I was really confused trying to figure out.
I don't know what you won, but.
What they won.
Yeah. I'm glad for you if that's the case. But I didn't know what they won. So you're telling me nothing.
That's the way I would view
okay.
it, but
okay.
everyone's entitled to their own interpretation of
yeah.
themselves.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else for Green Hill First Avenue? Or should we move on to the county? Charlie, you're going to present to the county?
I will.
Okay, awesome.
So, touching on the county statistics, the citations that were issued in May, we had 30 of those, so those are right in the range of all the other citations for the previous 16. The couple calls that I was going to talk about, we had the public comment on that, so I think he has well briefed on the issues with the pigs and what's going on there. The other one that we had happened back in the beginning of May, I think it was the beginning of June, maybe the end of May. It's been a while. We had some horses from Culp Creek that a longtime person that Bernie's been working with for a number of years to try and get the horses. The guy relinquished them, and Bernie was able to coordinate with a rescue, and they went and rescued three or four horses that they were able to rescue. So that's been the only rescue that he's had since I've been here. So those are all the highlights that I can think of. Do you guys have any questions about any of that?
So can I just clarify too? Because we get calls from members of the public just seeking information. So Officer Perkins does respond to horse-related complaints, but other types of livestock, I'm just kind of wondering what the boundaries of his jurisdiction by species are.
Horses are the line.
Okay.
As far as livestock,
uh-huh.
Yeah, we respond to horses.
All right, thanks.
Yeah. And we do respond to cows. I mean, if it's an animal in imminent danger, we do respond. Mm-hmm. It's just we don't have minimum care standards, or, you know, a lot of different things. But if it's health, if it's a safety issue,
yeah,
we will respond. Did anybody have any questions about the officer activities?
Well, why don't you go ahead, Mike?
I wanted to report that we had a trust contact us. I can't remember her first name now. Smith is the name of the lady that passed away, and she wanted to bequeath a large sum of money to LCAS, and it's about $126,000. We are in the process of setting up a fund specifically for that money. One of the things I would like to work with you on is how do we spend that? What are the priorities for us in how we spend that money? In talking with the executor of the estate, was a good friend of Mrs. Smith, is very willing to work with us on that. I think she would be willing to come to a committee meeting and discuss her feelings, you know, what she knew about Mrs. Smith. I wish I knew her first name.
Ruth.
Yeah, Ruth Smith. Is that right?
Yeah, it doesn't sound right.
Yeah, it doesn't sound right. Anyway. She'd be willing to come and talk to us about what Mrs. Smith's idea was behind directly contributing to LCAS. One of the things she did talk about when I was talking to her on the phone was we recognize that the shelter needs improvement, and that, you know, there's needs beyond the current programs to establish some other programming and stuff. So there are some ideas there. But I'd like to help your help. I don't want to be responsible for what decisions are made. I'd like to maybe all of us get together, maybe at your next meeting in August, and start talking about what priorities we might use. Now, as far as hiring somebody, $126,000 doesn't get very far if we add staff. So it would be more that kind of thing, either a capital purchase or some kind of advertising maybe, or some programmatic kind of thing.
A facility improvement.
Or, right, that's what I mean by capital investment. So that kind of thing. So anyway, just wanted to kind of put that out on the table, let you know we are in the process of signing documentation, getting the check, And like I say, it's about $126,000. So not a small sum. And would like your help in how to prioritize spending that.
If we're talking about a facility improvement, we'd be talking about First Avenue, correct?
County facilities, yeah. Correct.
Uh-huh. And isn't that partly owned by the city?
No.
It's owned by Lane County, City of Springfield, and City of Eugene, all three jurisdictions.
So is that a problem that the city isn't a recipient of the gift?
No.
Maybe Eugene should at least do matching funds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, did you say whether or not she has requested anything specifically? Is it just a general?
The agreement doesn't list anything specifically. That's why I talked to her and tried to get an idea of, you know, what is it that, you know, in your mind that Mrs. Smith was thinking about in relation to this. And she did mention improvements to the shelter as one, as well as some other programmatic things that you know, I'd like her to talk about and present to you. So.
Do you want to invite her to meeting?
That's my plan. Invite her to the next meeting if she can show up.
Maybe
and
we can all
maybe have a little work session about that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like before or after? Or
during, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Maybe the people that operate Lane County facility would have a list of things that they think are important.
I'm sure Green Hill has a list of things at the shelter. Yeah.
They work as the managers and they have a list of things that they consider important. So at least if we're going to triage this money a little bit, we need to know what's important.
That's a good idea. I could certainly contact their facilities folks.
Cost-wise, which is
what the item is, what the cost would be.
Top to bottom and then cost top to bottom.
Something like that would be not, I mean, a lot of times you need a little guidance with that kind of expenditure.
Sure, and I don't expect that we would resolve it next meeting. I'm just saying we could start the discussion.
Were you just notified?
Yeah.
They stayed there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So generally these things drag out about 6 to 8 months.
You know, she was like, let's get this done, let's go. Yeah. So, we're moving.
Sign the check, we'll take care of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There are some other benefactors as well, so they can't move on until we do our thing. So it's kind of everybody's signed but us, and so we're kind of the last ones that they're waiting for. So I think we're on a good path and going to get there. Hopefully this week she'll come in with the check and stuff. So we'll sign the agreement and move forward. So yeah, pretty quick.
Okay, so we can talk about that the next meeting. Put that on the agenda. Was there anything else from the county other than I think there were several of the updates. Items were in your minutes.
Right into that.
Take pause.
New shelter, Center for Dialogue and Resolution. We haven't started that process yet. Was kind of waiting for the new fiscal year. Now that we're in that, we'll get a contract with the Center for Dialogue and start that process. What that will be is contacting all the city jurisdictions that have a animal program and asking them to attend a summit meeting. We'll notify you all of when that is, and you're welcome to attend as well. It'll be a facilitated discussion, and probably I think we have up to 4 meetings over the next 6 months or something. That's kind of the commitment we're asking people to make. Any questions on that? So part of that is the discussion of universal licensing, improvements to the shelter. Is there support from other communities to improve the way we do animal control in the county? And are there opportunities to kind of break down some of those walls? Contract renewal, we have renewed the contract with Green Hill. That was an amendment that we worked with Green Hill on to extend for one more year. As you know, the current contract was for 3 years with 3 one-year extensions. So this is our last one-year extension. We have to go out for another RFP probably the beginning of 2017, January, February or so that we can have it lined up for the June, July end of fiscal year. So we'll be looking forward to having another contract out there, and Green Hill will be available to bid on it as well as any other contractor. So that'll be coming up at the beginning of 2017. Any questions on that? Universal dog licensing, again, that's going to be wrapped up into... I haven't heard from Commissioner Farr about the discussion at the board level. I did send an email out to them from your meeting before regarding the tiered licensing, you know, spayed versus, or, you know, neutered versus non-neutered, and just gotten a response from that, but just let the board know of our discussion on that. Spay-neuter vouchers, do you have a feel for how many you've gone through? I know I've signed at least three or four, but yeah, that's about where we're at, three or four a month, basically. So I know we talked about last time about reaching out to all the vet offices about the program again. We have not done that yet. We have... our call volume has definitely increased, and it's just a matter of workload. I think in the fall it'll slow down enough, and we'll make an effort to reach out to vets again about the program. But right now it's just, it's too hot and heavy right now to add that onto the workload. There's about 36 vet offices that we deal with on a regular basis, so those would be the 36 that we would call on. Inform about the program, make sure they're aware of it and how to use it, and so that's where we're at on that. Rabies reporting, next month will be another quarterly report, I believe.
Was it next month?
Went through June, didn't we? Did we go through June at the last report?
It was through March, the last report.
So April, May, June. So yeah, your next meeting will be another quarterly report on the rabies reporting.
Quick question back on this, the vouchers.
Yes.
With the website being frozen up, is it still able to print them out?
Yeah, that doesn't mean the stuff's not available. It just means we can't.
I thought probably was.
My understanding was we couldn't change it until the new site came up, but it just means whatever we change won't be added to the news thing. Yeah, so okay. It's all there. It's available.
Okay.
Yeah. Senate Bill 6, I talked to legal counsel this morning. He has promised to get me something this week. As far as, and that's not just for Senate Bill 6, the Register of Rescues, it's everything that we talked about 2 years ago, all the code changes that we talked about. He's preparing a draft ordinance with all of those changes. That's what he's going to provide to me, and he said this week. So we'll see if that's going to happen or not, but that's very positive news. Again, we can enforce state law, so if you know of any situations that regarding rescues that there's some issues, please let us know. We can certainly, this doesn't preclude us from going out and inspecting rescues and making sure they're following.
That's in the county, though. It can't be in the city, right?
Right. Do you know of a city case?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Have you reported it to the city?
No, I've told people about it, but I haven't reported it.
Yeah. Importation. That's David.
I have nothing on that.
Okay.
I have not been following it the last couple of months.
And then animal abuse reporting, Scott had that.
And we started talking some about publicity last meeting.
Yeah.
That might actually fall under talking about this gift.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we can just all give that some thought for the next meeting. And go on to the last item, which would be... We have two applications to review for the vacancy on the committee.
So just an update on that. I did get a call from Jessica. She was not able to attend. She requested that we go ahead and pull her application for consideration. I responded to her and let her know that we will be having some vacancies coming up, and that asked if we could keep her application active for those, and she said, yes, please keep me in mind for future vacancies. But she did ask that we pull her application. So Mr. Bradfelt is here, and you have his application, and he is prepared to answer any questions you might have.
Why don't you go ahead, Mr. Bradfelt?
Hi there, I'm John Bradfelt. And I've applied to be a part of the advisory committee. Lived in Lane County 57 years, my 63 years. I'm partially retired now, mostly retired. I work 3 days a week, and that's enough for me now. So I can give back a little bit of my time, and my wife and I have raised German Shorthair Pointers for 40 years. We live in Pleasant Hill now. Started our dog business basically when we got married, and we show them. I hunt them. We're also involved with judging. I judge dog shows, specialty shows for German Shorthairs and other breeds. And she does a lot of, we're active in canine good citizen training. And she's very active in training dogs, and she's a AKC registered judge or an instructor for canine good citizen training. And puppy, we're involved with puppy socialization and that type of thing, and with the German Shorthairs as well as other breeds. But I've sat on the board of directors for the German Shorthair Pointer Club of America for about 4 years, and been involved with the national club as well as the Oregon German Shorthair Pointer Club. And so that's, we have 8 short hairs at home, and we've raised on our little 5-acre farm, we've raised some cows, and we've had pigs that don't get loose. And they were butcher hogs. We raised them for food. But at any rate, I welcome any questions anybody might have about me.
Are there any questions?
I don't have any questions, but I can add some. I've never met Mr. Bradfelt, but I've met his wife, who is a very highly regarded trainer of show dogs and training people. She holds classes, and she's very good with people. And this is a little loose, but she is at least a second-generation dog person. If you remember Dr. Scholes, she is Dr. Scholes' daughter that used to be the dean of law of the U of O and was involved with the task force, the O3 task force, in opposing some of the things we were hearing on the task force.
That's one of our wedding presents was a short hair. that she, when she was in college, her dad took care of it. And then when she graduated, we got married, and we got the dog. That's how I got started with German Shorthairs. There was labs before that for me, but she's second generation dog person.
And I would assume that you bring a great depth of breed knowledge of especially trial dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do a lot of training for field trials, and the AKC now, when I first started in dogs, the German Shorthairs, it was a field trial type situation, and that there's almost 2 different lines of German Shorthairs. There's a field trial bred dog, and then there's the kind of dogs I have, and my dogs don't range as far. They're more of a foot hunting type dog, whereas a field trial dog just disappears, and then you track it down wherever it's at.
Hopefully not the shelter.
So, but I do the training for the hunting side of it, as well as Jan does the obedience and the socialization classes and that type of thing. But
yeah, my question. question after you heard all the public comment this morning is still interested.
I think it's interesting, really. We're trying to figure out how we can accomplish, you know, what those folks' concerns are. So, yeah, I understand their concerns.
Sure.
Did you hear the concern that I heard? And that was, it's not just the pigs.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bad neighbor on top of
you. Yeah.
Bad
neighbor on top of you. That's what it is. Pigs are the focus point to be able to not say directly what you want to say. Yeah.
And almost, you know, we live on Ridgeway Road in Pleasant Hill, and it's there's almost a dog at every house. We hardly ever hear a dog bark up there. I mean, our dogs bark when someone comes to the fence, but we keep them quiet. And we ask our neighbors occasionally, "Do our dogs bother you? You know, are they too noisy?" Or they go, "Well, I don't even hear them. I don't know they're there." So that's good.
That's good.
We do the same thing, get the same response.
Yeah.
When we put our clinic in up there, our neighbor objected and tried to get a petition up to stop the clinic and everything. And then after we moved in, she came over and apologized to me. Mm-hmm. She's worried about the noise and all that. And she said, "You're the best neighbors I've ever had."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I put Amazon Park in at 25th and Hilliard, the same thing happened. They all the neighborhood petitioned to keep me out. And then they had no basis to keep me out. But I went around to each person and talked to them and said, mm-hmm. If there's ever noise, I'd want to be the first one to know. And I promised them I'd put a double wall in, a soundboard in between and everything, just to make sure it was safe. They came back later and said, "We're really sorry. Mm-hmm. There's never been a noise, mm-hmm. you know." Now the neighbor dogs barked, okay, but not from the clinic itself, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's the same thing I experienced. The people came back. At least they were nice enough to come back and apologize.
Yeah.
And
we're sorry. She was the only one that really objected, but she was just concerned. And of course, the way the place looked before we moved in, afterward was night and day anyway.
Yeah.
But.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
I'm going to look to Mike and ask what the logistics are, and since he's the only applicant.
Should we say welcome aboard?
Yeah.
We can. I'm looking for a recommendation.
That would be my recommendation.
To the Board of County Commissioners.
Yeah.
Can we catch him before he leaves?
Nope. He's gone.
All right.
That would be my recommendation, is that we forward our approval to the commissioners.
Great.
Yes.
Unanimous then?
Yes.
Unanimous.
Okay. I will prepare a board packet, and it'll probably be in August at this point, before the board's agendas are getting really full. So probably in August, hopefully before your next meeting. So the first week of August. Get him appointed and approved by the board.
You want me to check on the brand department about those pigs, just so that we can say we did that?
Yeah.
I talk to them every day, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure how that, we refer people to them, especially cow issues, loose cattle.
It's livestock.
It's livestock, and we don't have, and to be honest, we expanded our code to include livestock. We'd have to have some resources to, because we get a lot of calls on livestock. And so having to add that to our workload, I think with one officer, we just couldn't do
it. If you need emergency storage for cattle, you know, I've got places to put cattle.
Yeah, it's not a matter of that. I think it's more workload, our capacity to deal with and expand to livestock. We're just not there.
But the best thing to do is to call a cowboy. I mean, if we have a cow, I mean, really, they got a trailer, they got a horse, they got a rope, and they can get that animal caught and pulled into a trailer and off the road faster than all the county. I'm not trying to put down county people, but you're not geared for that, okay?
Yeah, right.
And I got cowboys, and Bill probably knows them too, they just love to do that. You know, they just think that's a treat to be able to run out of a cow and catch her and pull her up into a trailer. That's like, oh my God.
Make your day. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Do we have anything for next month then, aside from the things we've already talked about?
So definitely the gift.
The gift,
yeah,
yes.
Talk about how we want, start talking about how we want to handle that.
And did you all want to bring some sort of a list with costs or?
I think we
need
to.
Do you know if the city
have,
has done any capital costing
they,
or anything?
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
We asked them, it was maybe 18 months ago at this point, for an itemized list of how much city facilities has spent in just maintenance and upkeep and improvements to the facilities mm-hmm. since they took over that obligation. I haven't asked for an updated one since then. We do have an item that we're working with them right now that's been discussed at this meeting, which is improvement to the HVAC systems
yeah.
in the kennel. That we kind of still been trying to schedule a meeting to get on site and put our heads together about what the plan should be for that. That's really the only major action item that we have currently on the table. And then, yeah, from there, I mean, there's an endless list of fairly, I guess, more minor repairs that we're doing constantly. But, yeah.
I mean, if we could address some nagging issues
yeah.
with that money. That would kind of, I guess that would be my, you know, things that either keep you awake at night or
uh-huh.
are just, I can't believe we still have to deal with that again. You know, if those are some things that we can address, I think we'd be open to hearing.
Source of email aggravation?
Yeah.
I mean, really, there
I don't know if
that's
going to touch me.
I know, but there are certain things that they constantly talk about that
yeah.
if there was a way to deal with.
I don't think as a public official I can go with bribes.
No, I'm not talking about,
yeah.
yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I was just talking about in general, if there's any, which I don't think there is, legitimacy to their complaints, let's make sure that they're not.
I see what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know that there is. I don't
yeah.
suspect there is. But if
there are some things I would, yeah, I don't. Yeah, I'm not sure that we could address those.
Those
issues are legitimate or not, but I would look at probably things that would enrich the lives of the dogs,
yeah.
particularly
which I
that
think
are there.
That's partly what
and
they're
I think
about.
We have two issues. One would be the HVAC. The other might be kennel doors.
Yeah.
And improvements to that, because that's I know
that's,
stressor
it's
for
a
the volunteers
human safety
as well.
Issue as well. Uh-huh.
And it's honestly been something that we've been trying to figure out how to address
right.
in a lower cost. Way,
mm-hmm.
but if we had the money to actually improve those doors in way, and to highlight what the problem with the doors are, is that for the most part they're all wire-ish door, doors that you can paws can go through
okay.
and fingers can go through,
mm-hmm.
And we haven't found a decent way of maintaining a quality barrier
mm-hmm.
in front of it. We do a plastic that doesn't quite hold up, plexiglass, and then. Blankets for the dogs because of the door height gets pushed under the door.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think we have a fix for that now.
So we finally have a fix.
It,
great. We've been wrestling
it's
with
it's like MacGyvering
constantly. Yeah. That's essentially how we've dealt with it is kind of MacGyvering the system
uh-huh.
to make it work. But
mm-hmm.
there are actually real solutions out
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
They're just more expensive.
Right. We do have an Eagle Scout that's building us a real chicken coop
yeah.
now for that location.
Nice.
So he was going to do it, and then he wasn't going to do it, and we were crestfallen, and then he came back and said he's still going to do it, so I don't know what's going on, but he's an eighth grade boy.
Right.
This is what
he's
doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, otherwise.
Eighth grade Eagle Scout? That's pretty good.
Maybe he's older than that. I don't
yeah.
know. Maybe he's older. Maybe he's older. I don't know.
Okay.
Okay, well, if there's nothing else, I think we'll see you all again August 8th.
Yep.
All for adjournment then?
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I will be back.
Sorry I'm late.